Come on, do it better. Celebrate God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blepo. Hey, I'm on for. Blepo. Wow. Are you blessed? You want to take and receive the second word this morning? But before then, I'd like to introduce and welcome our father, Reverend Kwame Appiah-Kubi, in the house. Let's celebrate God for his life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Papa, you are welcome. And we honor you so much and thank God for you. Amen. The one going to give us the second word is no other than my own son. And I've known him for some time. In fact, it was my daughter who brought him to me. So when my daughter met him and they decided they wanted to marry and they got married, he also became my son. Hallelujah. And ever since, he has followed and has been with us and has been a blessing, a good son. Hallelujah. On this occasion, as we were praying concerning speakers, the Lord laid upon my heart to give him an opportunity to speak. Hallelujah. In this second word, we'd like to be on our feet. And just as you receive me, let's also receive my son, Augustine Adebwache. Welcome him.
Amen. If you are doing it for the Lord, then you have to do it better. Amen. 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 Amazing. Blepo. We thank God. Let's be seated. I want to thank God and I want to thank my father for this opportunity. It is not an easy task. Yesterday, as he was ministering, he said something. He said that there are some people that when they are called to come and minister, one way or the other, they feel that they are not enough. They are weaknesses. Because of that, they cannot do it. And then that fear, it grips them. Amen. But then, in fact, when daddy called me, I was like, wow, how can it be? Because standing before this altar is everything. And then it is not also an easy task. Looking at the graces that stand before this altar, it is an amazing privilege. So I want to thank God and I want to thank my daddy. Amen. This morning we are speaking on the topic, catching the anointing of the house. Catching the anointing of the house. Or catching the anointing of the man of God. Or placing a demand on the anointing or on the graces of the house. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. And it is our prayer that, Lord, you will grant us utterance that we may hear of your word. Take self away and use us as a vessel and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. There were two young men who had access to assessing the grace of God and the favors of God. In Genesis chapter 4, Bible talks about Abel and Cain. They had the opportunity to assess the favors of God on the altar of sacrifice. And then by virtue of attitude or by virtue of character, one person was able to assess that favor of God and then the other person could not assess the favor of God. Unfortunately, it has become the story in the body of Christ now that though we sit under the feet of the man of God, instead of us to be able to assess or place a demand on the anointing or on the grace that works on the man of God, we are not able to assess that grace. And it has become a pity. Is it not so surprising? Is it not so sad that we realize that a lot of outsiders are giving testimonies? A lot of outsiders are having encounters, even from the grace of the house, yet the residents of the house are not able also to give such same testimony. Is it not so sad? Amen. Let us read something from John chapter 1, verse number 12. Bible says something very interesting. He says that, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. The grace on them called Jesus was that if you believe in him, you would be able to become the son of God. He was the son of God, and as such, your believing in him, even believing on his name, would automatically mandate you into becoming a son of God. So if you want to become a son, what you need to do is to believe and to receive him. Likewise, every man of God, there is a grace. There is a grace upon every man of God. So the moment you are able to receive that man of God, you would realize that there is a transfer of that grace. You realize that the workings of that grace, that anointing, becomes evident in your life. Amen. What is the anointing of the man of God? Yesterday, Papa said something very profound. He says that God will not never call us into idleness. He says that he would validate us with an assignment. And one interesting thing is that the authority that backs the assignment is the anointing that God has given unto him. So, Bible puts it this way. He said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, going about doing good and healing all those that were under the oppression of the devil. So the anointing would actually grant you permission in the field that you have been called to operate in. So you realize that we have a lot of branches to our church. We have the prayer line. We have the breakthrough. We have the truth encounter. We have catch the glory. These are not just names. These are the signatures to our commission. Breakthrough is the signature to our commission. You realize that the anointing actually becomes the signet ring of your calling. In other words, it becomes the authority that backs the assignment that God has given unto you. So you realize that when you walk with this commission, there is something that you must encounter, and that is breakthrough. There is something that you must encounter, that is catch the glory. There is something that you ought to encounter, and that is the truth encounter, because these are the signatures of our commission. And we would need to learn how we can assess it. Amen. We would want to look at some of these things, interesting things that make us not to be able to place a demand on the grace of our man of God or on the grace of our house. When Reverend Enoch was speaking, he said most of them. But interestingly, we would want to look at it one by one. And when Papa asked me to study more about this, when I was studying it, I pictured myself in a mirror. I literally saw myself in a mirror, and I realized that it was affecting us, because when God grants you insight into this, you realize that this is the reason. This is the reason why certain things are actually not working in our lives. This is the reason why people are giving testimonies. People are giving mega, amazing testimonies. Yet we cannot even boast of Obi Shire or say J5000. We cannot assess such trivial miracles, such trivial testimonies. We cannot have, because we've not been able to assess, and then we falter by doing some of these things. The first thing I would want us to look at is dishonor. Is dishonor. Bible, or the dictionary, describes or defines dishonor as failure to observe or respect. Failure to observe or respect, or lack of honor. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 to 13. Let's look at the 1 to 3 for now. God called a man called Abraham, and God gave him a commission and made a covenant with this man. Now there was a nephew of this man called Lot, and Lot also went away with this man. What Lot refused to understand was the fact that the blessing of the journey was upon the man that he was following. And he said, obey to me, I assess. Yeah, if he's to assess that blessing, then he should follow the man through. But what do we see about Lot? Something very interesting about Lot. Now, when we read down from the verse 10, from the verse 4 to verse 13, let us read from the verse 1. Now, the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto all the land that I will show thee. Please push it. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and thee shall all family of the earth be blessed. Amen. Now, what Lot did not know was that there are certain attitudes, or there are certain things that when you do before the one that you are following, it actually becomes a curse. It deposits a curse upon your life. You see, sometimes you don't need to pronounce a curse upon anybody. What Aaron, a priest, did with a prophetess, Miriam, was that they talked. You see, the subject on which he talked was not anything related to ministry. It was actually about marriage. And then, interestingly, when you read, Aaron and Miriam, the siblings, the big siblings of Moses, so they felt that we have the opportunity, or we have the mandate to talk about, why would you marry a Cushite? Why? Moses, why a Cushite? We are your big siblings. Why would you want to marry a Cushite? But what they forgot was that the time that Moses was their sibling, it had passed. Now God, a new dimension of hand was upon him. And they ignored that and still related to the man as a sibling. And it incurred. Think of it. Moses, why would you marry a Cushite? Is it an insult? It's not an insult. Oh, truthfully, is it an insult? Pastor Obed, why would you marry a woman from Jacobu? Why would you want to marry a woman from Jacobu? When you ask this question, it is harmless. No, be so. It is harmless. But then realize that he is no longer, when the hand of God comes upon him, he is no longer your sibling. He is a tool in the hands of God. So when your words are to affect him, it affects God. He has become the apple of God's eye. So God will guard him or protect him with all his jealousy. So if you say things and you are not careful, you pronounce the wrath of God. It doesn't matter. You may actually be a servant of God. You may be as righteous as you want to be. Mind you, Miriam was a prophetess. Aaron was a priest. Yet they incurred the wrath of God. Is it not surprising that even before God, Aaron, before you can go to God, you would need to consecrate yourself. You would need to sanctify yourself. He did that for so many years. Yet after he had removed the priestly garment, that curse, it actually got to him. And this has become the story of most believers. What is affecting us now is not something about witches. It's not anything about witches. It is not anything about witches. When you push it down, let's push it down. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken. Let's go down. Let's go down. Let's go down. Let's go down. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent there, having Bethel on the west and high. Please, let's go down. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. What I would want you to note is that in all these struggles, Lot was still with Abraham. Lot was still with Abraham. Now let's go down. Let's look at the 11. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that upon all, what I want you to understand is that Abraham went through a lot of challenge, but we never heard of Lot. We never heard of the struggles of Lot. We never heard of the difficulties of Lot. All we heard was the difficulties of Abraham. But interestingly, when you push it further down, you realize that when the blessing came, it didn't, Lot actually enjoyed the blessing. Lot never went through the struggle. So far as Abraham was going through the difficulty, Lot was not going through that difficulty. So far as Abraham was going through the fears, the challenges, the difficulties, Lot, all he needed to do was to make sure that he is an obedient follower. But it got to a time that Lot felt that, oh no, I've also grown in wealth. I have also servants, male servants and female servants, even to the extent that that guy had a fantasy that his servants were fighting with the servants of Abraham. Not only with them, even with Abraham, he was having strife with him. So Abraham said, we cannot have strife. You, me and you, we are relatives. And our servants can also not have, you choose. The guy never had a repentant heart. He rather chose, he looked at the field where it was green. He looked at the field where it was green and he left Abraham and he went there. But it is so sad. This is the highest form of disrespect you can show before your leader. He left him. He left him and he went because of small anointing, because you can see, or because you can prophesy, because you can sing, and people will kneel down and cry, or what? Because you can play organ. Because of that, trust me, your anointing is connected onto one source, the anointing of your father. When he's not there, trust me, you become as irrelevant as you can be. Your anointing is always connected to the anointing of your father. Without him, you see, when you push it down, it's a long story, but when you push it down, realize that when Lot went on to Sodom, when he went to live in Sodom, there was a battle and he lost everything that he took to Sodom. Everything he had, the servants, the animals, the life, everything he lost. He lost everything. One of the things that Lot was not saying was, so far as he was with Abraham, there was no need for war. Because you see, God told Abraham that you, Abraham, I am your shield. So, Lot didn't need to fight any battle. But you see, Papa said something when he was preaching. He said, the unseen miracles are the amazing one. But see, it can be the other one. The unseen miracles may not make you appreciate God enough. I quite remember one day we were traveling from Takwa through to Accra, and when we got to Winneba Junction, it was a ford, and there was this little table that they had put in it because and the guy needed to go to Accra, so they put the chair there and the guy sat on it. When we got to UCC, in front of UCC, the guy actually got down, and then we continued with our journey. When we got to Winneba Roundabout, some few meters to Winneba Roundabout, we had a very serious accident. An accident that smashed our car into pieces. It was a head-on collision with a dump truck. The dump truck fell, so you could feel the impact of that accident. And after God delivered me from this accident, and I went to the hospital and came back because my wallet had fallen into the car, that was when God asked me to look for the table that the guy was sitting on it. So the guy was actually under the dump truck. See, what the guy did not know was that the car that he was sitting in fact, where he was seated, if he had been in the car at that instant, he would have been under the dump truck. You understand? But then because he did not see, he cannot praise God enough. He cannot even be thankful enough. You understand? That was what happened to Lot. Once he was with Abraham, he didn't need any battle. Didn't need to fight any war. But the moment he departed, from Abraham. He forgot that his security was in Abraham. He forgot his security was in Abraham. He also forgot that his prosperity was linked to that of Abraham. He could never survive on his own. And you know, interestingly, when you find yourself in that position, God will intentionally put you there when you do that. And then it will still require that same man of God to deliver you. So you see, it took Abraham to deliver him. It took Abraham. See, four nations came against them. Do you know the number of men Abraham used to defeat them? 318. Abraham used, only none of them died. 318. To conquer four nations, to retrieve that which Lot had lost. It took that same man of God, he dishonored. You have dishonored, we have told you. Repent. A hand tight wound to me, crown conquer patcho. Wound to me, patcho. Apologize, because it will take that same man of God to deliver. You see, and so how the guy, after he had retrieved all his lost possessions, went back. Is it not so sad that the man left Sodom empty-handed? The man left Sodom empty-handed. When the angels went there, my friend, move. We are going to destroy. He didn't have time to carry his animals. Even his wife, who was delaying, he didn't have time to carry him, to carry her. The wife delayed and turned into a pillar of salt. Make sure you do not dishonor the anointing of your father. Learn to respect the anointing of your father. Learn to give honor, esteem that anointing, that grace. He doesn't need to say much. I can't remember when I wanted to travel to the UK. Before that, Nankofu went dimisika. Even to the extent that my own in-law, my akunta, he realized I was so desperate to travel. I say, Jack, you're not Canada, you fast kabra, you're be yamau. I asked my sister, Charlie, are they nebefa? Afa, why you be a movie? Akunta J. But I came to Papa and I told him my plan. I said, it's okay. It is well. I sat in my office one afternoon and decided to apply. No connection man, no experience. I applied. After I have applied, I printed out the documents, brought it to Papa one evening. Papa, me come cry you. He took it, didn't even pray. So when I was going, I was like, Papa, Papa, yanafa ngo kadi, fa anointing oil no. And interestingly, there was anointing oil beside him. Fa anointing oil tima di so. The man took it, held it. It is well. Gave it back to me. You see, when a man pleases God, when a man pleases God, all his ways. The man just said, it is well. I went. Time the crown. So they gave me how many days? The time didn't even reach. I was there. I received. I went. Amazing. May we not dishonor the oil of our father. May we not dishonor the oil of our father. Number two, offense. Offense. Offense is cancerous. Offense is a beast. Offense is a demon. Reverend Enoch said something. I thought that we don't know. All because this person said this. Offense. Offense. Offense is cancerous. It is a beast. Let's look at This he said, not that he... No, let's go to the five. Let's go to the four, sorry. Then took Mary a pound of ointment or spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let's come to four. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Let's look at the five. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Amen. The economist of the church. There are people in the church who feels that they know better than the leader. One of the things we need to understand is that we may all be reading the Bible, but in the closet of the leader of the commission, he receives instruction. And then it is the instruction that he brings down that we would also follow. Now, Jesus was doing something very prophetic, yet Judas complained bitterly about it. Why a waste? Why a waste? We would complain virtually about everything. We think we know better than the leader of the commission. We would complain, we would complain virtually about everything. But interestingly, those that complain do not complain because they ought to complain. They complain because their hearts are not right. They have not submitted yet. They have not submitted to the commission yet. So when you get to the six, it says that he was not, this he said, not that he cared for the poor. He says, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Complainers in the church. This is our portion. When you complain a lot, do a self-diagnosis. Sit down and ask yourself why you complain. Why you complain? Why you complain? I quite remember in my previous church, there was this particular guy. Every offering, this guy will come and give the highest. The guy never went to school. The guy just finished St. Peter's as a Roman hell. The guy finished St. Peter's. And the guy was repairing phones at a Doom PZ. But the guy had purpose in his heart that he would always give the highest. So the elders of the church decided that then we would give you the platform so that anytime we are giving offering, you come and lead. And there were a lot of people. And because they be obey to me, yeah, they say kwenya we amano. And they be on Nigeria for you. They be on Nigeria for you. You see, interestingly, up to date, those that were complaining are still poor. The guy has over six shops in the Doom. And we are here complaining. If you do not understand, shut up. If it is better to shut up, it is better to close your mouth. Bible says that even the fool, when he closes his mouth, he is considered wise. Shut up. You don't need to talk about everything. You see, the correction in the body of Christ is not given to babes. The correction in the body of Christ is not given to babes. How many times can you even fast for yourself? How many times do you even pray for the body of Christ? For God to lay that correction upon your heart that you, go and correct my body. No, see, when you try to complain about the church, where you are placing yourself is that you are the corrector of the body of Christ. It is not a joking matter. When you want to complain virtually about everything in the church, then it means that you think that the body of Christ, yes, to me, am I perfect? How dare you? Have you resolved your own imperfections already to talk of the body of Christ? May God have mercy upon us. Offense turns you into a betrayer. offense would always turn you into a betrayer. Offense is the thing that would make you will make you leak the secrets of the house. The things that happens in the church, it is offense that will make you go outside and go and say it. Sunday, waba sofuatiam, ukotina kamwa trotro, nipe womina, sa pastobed no, miracle mana, sa sofono. See, what you are doing is that you are selling a bad, how do I even put it? A bad perception about your man of God. Enti asante fo nwoma etre mi ensa ni chichemunsia o se bebia ye didi no ye nyeden ye nse ho. That is where you receive your blessing from. Why are you going to destroy that place? Have you forgotten that you are cutting your source? You are cutting, you are destroying your source. Where you benefit from, you are collapsing there. You are putting fire into your own storehouse. Where you can access goodies for your own life, you are putting fire. And in the affairs of man, will you judge it as wise or foolish? That is offense. You see, offense made Absalom to connive and to conspire with somebody who also had an offense in his heart. Ahithophel. You see, they connived, conspired against their source, their father. A man of God. You don't respect a man of God. And sometimes I don't blame us. It is society, you see. The devil is smart. They want to make logic out of the things of God. You see, the things of God do not need the understanding. It doesn't need academia. It doesn't need the understanding of men. That is why without the Holy Spirit, you can never understand the things of God. It is foolish unto them that are perishing. They conspired against David. And what happened? God turned their counsel into foolishness. Reverend Enoch says something. You can never win a battle with your man of God. You can never. Even if he should sleep, put his hand down. You can never win him. Let them give you gloves. Go to his house. Put his hands down. You can never win that battle. Trust me. You can never. You can never. You can never win that battle. May God have mercy on us. Let's look at something number three. Almighty familiarity. Almighty familiarity. There is something called familiarity. And familiarity is one of the things that would if you are not careful, it would choke the court of transfer of grace. As you see a man or as you receive a man, just as we read from John chapter 1, verse number 12, as you receive him, so, he said, as you receive him, so you will get him. So there is a lot of people, just by virtue of the fact that the man of God of the house was your classmate, you relate to him as a classmate. The reason why God pushed the cause of Moses against Aaron and Moses, against Aaron and Miriam, was the fact that Moses was not just a man of God, he was a friend of God. So God, as any friend will do, will fight the cause of a friend. And the moment you receive your man of God as a brother, you are limited to the blessings of a brother. The moment you receive your man of God as your husband, you are limited to the blessings of a husband. The moment you see your man of God as your mate, you are limited to the blessings of a mate. You can never access any spiritual blessing. Never. Familiarity will kill you. The moment your man of God, God puts his hand on him, the moment God calls him, he ceases from becoming an ordinary man. He ceases. There is something funny that the world normally say, yes, but now, see, he is a man of God. He is a vessel that God uses. He becomes the mouthpiece. See, when a man becomes the mouthpiece of God, do you understand? It means that God takes away his own mouth. And he puts the man there. So when God speaks, he speaks through him. So the moment you familiarize yourself with that man, you understand? On the level of spirituality, you realize that every blessing coming out of God locates you. So he's not just a man of God. He is the mouthpiece of God. When a man is a mouthpiece of God, he's a dangerous tool. When you stand against him, you are standing against God. Thank you. You are standing against God. When you want to fight him, because he's the mouthpiece of God. These things, sometimes they may be funny, but then that is how it is. If we know some of these things, we would know how we will talk to our man of God. Familiarity. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1 to 15. It talks about Aaron and Miriam. They forgot themselves. They forgot. Omo ref, he said, Abrantia no nanana pomanishan in semnu. They forgot that it was that man who had encountered the burning bush. They forgot that he was no longer. They forgot that it was this same man that went onto the mountain and came back and they couldn't look at his face. They forgot. They forgot. See, God doesn't work temporarily with people. The moment God calls somebody, it is permanent. His relationship with that person is permanent. So the person does not change. The ministry doesn't end there. Who lied to you? Do not familiarize yourself with your man of God. See him as your man of God. Matthew 13, 53 to 58. Interestingly, this is what is happening in our society now. Jesus was seen as the carpenter's son. And because of that, he could not perform many miracles in his own hometown. In his own hometown, where he should have performed majority of the miracles. His own hometown. See, the moment you familiar, they saw him as the carpenter's son. That time, Jesus didn't need. They only saw him as that because they saw him growing. But they had the privilege of growing together with the Son of God. And familiarity, in fact, it got in their way and ripped that opportunity they had with the Son of God. Imagine how Nazareth would have been written in the Bible if they had received Jesus. His own hometown. See, even MPs. I know one MP, Ofuriata. There is no economic activity going there. Just by virtue of job, I had to go to that community. And I realized that even to the extent that they had gravels and excesses in the town. Imagine how the story of Nazareth would have been if they had received him, yet they could not benefit of the grace that was upon the Son of God because they saw him as the son of the carpenter. and it deprived them of many blessings. Mercy. Let's look at something very interesting. Seed sowing. Or serving the needs of the man of God. Seed sowing. Anytime I read the story of Isaac telling his son to get him food, I wonder. Isaac, nana ne pem meme biane ana se. I wonder. See, the man was a wealthy man. No mistake about that. The man had servants. You understand? The man had servants. But the man needed to bless his son. Upon all the tasks he could have given him, he said, go, don't kill the animals we have at home. Don't kill any of them. Go out. Go and look for a game. Come and prepare for me. Let me eat. It didn't end there. After that, I will bless you. See, sometimes the man of God do not need that which you have, so that he can release that which is inside of him. It's a trade. It is always a trade. So that he can release that which is inside of him unto you. Instead of the man telling his servants to cook him a very delicious meal, he said a young boy should cook him a meal that he may bless him. Sometimes we need to service the needs of our man of God. Sometimes we need to give unto our man of God. Sometimes we need to sow seed into the life of the man of God. You see, anybody that helped Jesus on the path to his crucifixion had the privilege of his name recorded in the Bible. See, the reward of the prophet will never ever be given unto you if you have not served the need of the man of God. So the Shunammite woman realized that, this man has been passing here. Not like the man of God actually complained about where he wanted to sleep. Elisha never complained. But the woman saw the need to give shelter for the man of God. And when she did that, that which she needed in her life to make her life complete, God, through the man of God, gave it unto her. Amen. These are shortcuts into assessing the grace that is upon the man of God. Your ability to sow into the anointing and the grace that works upon his life. And you see, Abraham, Genesis chapter 18, verse number 1 to 15. You see, Abraham had worked with God for 24 years. Yet the promise that God made him had not manifested yet. Until one day, Abraham saw people going on a certain journey. They were not actually coming to Abraham. They were going to Sodom. Abraham saw them, invited them to his home, and fed them. Now, after he had fed them, they revealed the intentions of God concerning him and told him, a year by this time, that which you have been desiring for so long. See, the man had obeyed. The man had been doing everything, yet there was no manifestation of the promise. Until one day, when he fed God, he fed God. Let's read. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. Abraham did what he hastened. Do not grumble when you want to give to your man of God. Be in a hurry. Do not waste time. If you want to give, do not give out of a grudging heart. Do not give with murmuring in your heart. If you want to give, you see, you have to be intentional about sowing seed into the life of your man of God. Because you cannot take a seed into your man of God without an expectation. It is your expectation that would erase that grumbling away from your heart.
That's right.
It is your expectation. Yeah, dear, see, dear, where have we gotten to? Sometimes the money we have is the seed that we need to sow for that bountiful harvest. A seed may be one, but when it blossoms, we may have a lot of food. That is why we need to be very intentional about that. People are doing it. Is it not so sad that even the wicked, the worldly people have understood this principle and they are doing it? They are doing it. The worldly people have understood it and they are doing it. Yet, we are here. We feel we know it all. We think we know it all. And we are not able to receive of the blessing. See, Elijah was not the only prophet. When the heavens, he locked the heavens. He was not the only prophet. There were righteous people on the land. Yet he stood as a man of God. He stood before God and he closed the entire heaven. What am I trying to tell you? See, your man of God can close your heavens. Your heavens can be closed by virtue of your relationship with your man of God. You may be righteous, but that alone can shut your heavens. So you would have to be very intentional in your seed sowing with your man of God. And lastly, what I want us to look at, let me combine the two. Obedience and truthfulness. Obedience and truthfulness. Obedience. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 19 to 27, a very popular scripture about Naaman and Gehazi. Naaman thought he was smarter than his man of God. Naaman thought that he was wiser than the man of God. Naaman thought he had a need more pressing than that of the man of God. So after the man of God had rejected an offering from Naaman, Gehazi went behind the man of God. One of the things you need to understand is that the moment you accept a man or you receive a man of God, his covering becomes, it is deposited on you. So his spirit is always with you. So when Elisha met Elijah and Elijah was departing, you see, Elijah was a man who was always parting the waters. It was a normal experience to him. Elisha had never done that. So when Elijah went, Elisha took that mantle that dropped and asked, "Where is the God of Elijah?" So Elisha did not call his God. He called the God of his father. So it is the spirit of your father that covers you. So his spirit would always be with you. Wherever you go, his spirit. You see, that is why sometimes you would need to place a demand on the covenant of your father. If you learn how to place a demand on the covenant of your father, you realize that a covenant that speaks for him would speak for you. Jacob's them, when they met God, didn't have a covenant with God. It was the covenant of their father Abraham that was speaking for them. So the covenant of your father would always speak for you. But it is subject to obedience. Obedience means total submission. To obey is to surrender to the instructions of your man of God or of your leader. Gehazi, We don't want it. Gehazi said, no, me, I have a needle. You also for what them call for chawadie. They say me the chi. I didn't baso a woman. I baso as a man. The guy went behind the man of God. And you see, Elisha said something very profound. He said, was my spirit not with you the entire time? Not the time he was transacting, even from the time he left my end. Was my spirit not with you the entire time? The spirit of the man of God was with his servant. You see, what Gehazi lost, Gehazi exchanged his destiny for something very minor, something very little. Imagine Elisha was operating in the double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. And Gehazi knew. So Gehazi could have even placed a demand, a double of even that. So we would have heard Gehazi to be one of the greatest prophets. Yet, because of disobedience, he lost that glorious destiny. Amen. May God have mercy on us all. Don't be in a rush to disobey just because by the grace of God you've been privileged to a position. Don't be in a rush to disobey. Don't be in a rush to disobey. You see, your obedience, Hebrews 13, 17 puts it this way. Hebrews 13, 17. You see, your obedience is a profit, is profitable to only you. Not to, he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for who? You. Your own self. So when you obey, it is not for Pastor Obed. It is not for the leader of the commission. It is for your own self. The benefit of your obedience is to only you, not to anybody else. And we have the story, 1 Samuel 15, 1 to 13. I end with this. You see, the prophet Samuel received an instruction from God and gave it to the king. And the king thought that he knew better than the prophet. Sometimes don't put logic, don't attach logic to the instructions of your father. It doesn't make sense. I quite remember a very long time ago, before I started Snap Yaba, my father's prophet called me and asked me to go and sweep in a church. I had stayed home for about 3 years. I was not getting a job. If I had refused, the moment I finished, about a week, I was called by Snap Yaba to come for an interview. Sometimes the instructions may not make sense. Follow it through. Follow it through. When Elisha was about dying, he told one of the kings, he says that, you see, this arrow, and you see, the king just thought that, oh, me dey hope akum you no miensa. He says that, okay, miensa pena be to me here, okay. You see, you would overcome your enemy 3 times, but after that, they would overcome you. See, follow instructions through to the end until your man of God asks you, it is enough, stop. If not, we may not be able to access that grace. May God have mercy upon us, and may we be able to access the grace on the life of our man of God, that our lives will be glorious. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Oh, come on, do it better. You can be on your feet and put your hands together. Wow. Oh, do it unto God. He alone is worthy. Come on, celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.